Folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Will. Will, have you ever been fired and gotten a $70 million payout?
Oh, no, man, but I want everyone to know I'm getting into coaching. I assume those payouts are also at the local level, the local little leagues level.
Right? Yeah. You can get $6. Jimbo's getting $20 million this year, $20 million next year, and then like seven over the next, I don't know how many years that's going to take to average that out, five. It's going to be, it's insane. That is just stupid money. Stupid money.
What's their record?
I have no idea. Not good enough, apparently.
I mean,
they just won, which is a great part.
Yeah, it was like 52-10 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
they're just tired of 51-10 over Mississippi State. What is Texas A&M's record right now?
They're 6-4.
Yeah. Damn. Back's better than Texas A&M. Bring on the Aggies. No.
You know what? Here's what Texas A&M should do. They should leave the SEC. They should come to the ACC. Or they can go join the Pac-2. And have a better shot at being successful. I can't believe they did that. I would have wrote it out for another year. Why pay this guy this much?
I know I'm not the first one to bring this up, but how stupid are the ADs that give out these contracts? It's unbelievable. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Here's the thing, and I brought this up, and this is bringing it back to NC State. I brought this up the other day just as your friendly reminder that Jimbo Fisher was begging to get the NC State job when he was the offensive coordinator at LSU. And we went ahead and hired Tom O'Brien. And the replies I got to that tweet, I'm just like, y'all can't read, first of all. And second of all, just completely missing the point. Most of them were like, oh, I'm happy with Dave. He's doing a good job. It's like, it has nothing to do with Dave. This was Tom O'Brien. Do you remember the coach before Dave Dorn? Right? And maybe not. Maybe some of y'all don't. But they hired Tom O'Brien because Lee Fowler wanted the safe, established hire. And everybody's like, well, look what Jimbo did at Texas A&M. He's run to the ground. Look what he did at Florida State before that. He won a national title. Now, I'm not saying he would have won a national title at NC State, but I would, hindsight going 2020, I'm hiring Jimbo Fisher. He is, at that point, a young up-and-comer. He knew the value of recruiting. He still does. He still brings in a ton of recruiting class, you know, recruiting talent. And at the time, he was running an offense that was putting up points. It was hard to defend against. And why wouldn't you want that? Now, he didn't adapt, and his offense has not evolved enough, and that's been pretty much the primary issue. But, man, Jimbo Fisher back in 2008, was it, when they hired Tom O'Brien? Come on now. How obtuse do you have to be to think you'd rather have Tom O'Brien?
I think the only counterpoint...
Ridiculous.
The only counterpoint with Jimbo is knowing that those two places, Florida State and now it appears Texas A&M, left behind like kind of like a smoking rubble of what it was. You know, it took Boston or Florida State way longer than you'd expect for them to recover. Some of that was self-inflicted.
Well, how but much the, really
the rumors of the bad culture and things like that. And now you're seeing, I mean, look at his current staff. I think he's got Steve Adazio, DJ Durkin, and Bobby Petrino, like murderer's row of moral character there. So I don't know. It would have been interesting to kind of see what would have happened. He probably wouldn't have liked it here because I'm sure he'd come here and be like, well, in order to do this in the SEC, we pay these dudes and we cheat and this is how you do it. And probably NC State would have been like, oh, excuse wait, hold on.
Let's not pretend we haven't been doing it too. Everybody's
not to the degree that they do, man. Now that things are open, now that NIL's out, right? Look at the balance of the force.
How much of that was like Tom O'Brien? Like, I'm just going to recruit this two-star over here because I can coach him up. You know, Chuck was definitely doing it, right?
I mean, we
know all that stuff was going on. Jimbo would have brought in talent. He would have left in 3 years, 100%. He would have gotten a different job. But again, we've talked about it before. That would have been the first coach that had left that had not been fired or retired like Dick Sheridan, right? Since Lou Holtz back in 79.
Well, yeah,
that's a huge, huge thing. Yeah. He would have left. He would have left some more talent. There's no alternate universe where having Jimbo Fisher is bad for NC State. I just don't. I can't put that together back in 2008 or whatever the Tom O'Brien year was.
Wow. Wasn't the rumor it was going to be Jimbo Fisher and was it Muschamp? He was bringing a defensive coordinator with him. That was the rumor.
I don't remember if Muschamp was active at remember he was coached in South Carolina. I don't know if that was in like in between time.
No, he went from Florida to South Carolina. This would have been before that. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I think at the time, right, they looked at Chuck and then they saw Tom O'Brien and they were like, oh, a program builder who's the exact opposite of Chuck Amato. And so, you know, they did that classic, well, the last guy didn't work, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know. It's just so tough to tell if Jimbo would have really been successful or not just because – you kind of saw how even when he had those really good Florida State teams, aside from the Jameis Winston ones, right? Like, I mean, the games he lost to us were often like comical. The choices he was making, right? Yeah. The 17-16 game. There was years, you know, they had, God, who's the running back? Dalvin Cook, right? And we would just like stone him the whole game and he'd just keep going for it in long field goals. So he's definitely a bit of a dinosaur now. He would have definitely been fun to it would have definitely been fun to see what he did.
2007 was the year, by the way.
Yeah,
don't care. Give me Jimbo Fisher. He would have done more than Tom O'Brien did in that short period of time, and he would have left this team in a better spot than what Tom O'Brien left it for Dave. When Dave has been on record coming in saying the program was in shambles.
There
was
zero
talent here.
For sure. Yeah, we were a year or two too late moving on from Tom. Would you take Jimbo now?
Over
like Dave? If Dave retired?
No, I'm taking a younger up and comer.
Okay. You don't think he's gonna learn in the next 6 months?
No. Nope.
I think or 6 weeks.
I think we are what you are. You've shown your ability not to adapt and evolve. I don't think he's doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I'm curious if he'll just sit back. Will he show up on a random I don't know. Those guys, it's just so hard to... Like I said before with Dave, it's hard to imagine these guys walking away from it. It's just in their DNA.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if we see him at... where was it that Lane went and coached for a little bit? Was it FAU?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see him go back there and just be annoying to Florida State. Pick like one or two guys up that they want.
Yeah. So Texas A&M's open. Mississippi State's open. It's the best time of year, by the way, all these coaching searches. UCLA's going to open, supposedly, rumors, speculation. Yeah. Arkansas's going to open. Michigan State's open. It's going to be a hot, hot market here.
Yeah, so. I think Northwestern just hired their interim.
Did they?
Yeah, I thought I just saw that.
Wow, I missed that one.
He went like 5-5, which for them is apparently good enough.
Yeah.
God.
Just won at Wisconsin. Crazy.
Yeah, it's just so annoying that these shitty schools are getting these massive TV contracts. It just drives me nuts. Chip Kelly, that's interesting. Curious, I don't know. I wouldn't want the UCLA job, though, because like the more you think about it, it's the pay. It's like, you know, the amount of money you need to survive the cost of living out there, and then that's got to impact your staff and also, like, no one goes to those games. No one cares. I feel like there's going to be a lot of coaches that are going to start getting real, real picky all of a sudden and be like, what?
They're all going to get rich. That's why. You go to UCLA, get fired in 5 years and make a ton of money.
God, I would hate it.
It's Big Ten money now.
Yeah, I know, but it's don't you want to win? You know, you're still making like Dave Thorne's making $5 million a year. So what is UCLA going to pay right now? What were they paying Chip? Do you know?
I have no idea. We can find out.
Because you have to pay him a lot just to offset the living, that's for sure.
I don't know. I mean,
soft Cali players.
Chip Kelly.
Boise State's open. That's what I couldn't believe the other day.
I don't know what he's paying him, but UCLA is paying Chip Kelly around $616,000 per loss. That's what BruinsNation.com said. $9 million a year is what it says.
Oh, God. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, after taxes, that's four.
Oh, wait. That's, hold on. That's there. I can't read. This is 5.6.
That's
yeah,
it?
His buyout was $9 million. Yeah, 5.6.
Yeah, they're not even paying that much. I mean, honestly, you got to remember, right? UCLA and USC were like crazy financial trouble. I mean, that's what led to the jump in the first place. So be curious to see if they cheap out initially, get that money, kind of recover their coffers, then make a hire. I mean, they're going to get – those teams are going to get destroyed in the Big Ten after the way they've looked this year. Good luck. Good luck. I can't wait to see Iowa beat USC, you know, 12-8 or something.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
It's going to be 12 the bad way, though. A touchdown, yeah, a field goal, and a safety.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. But yeah. The coaching search season is in full swing now, earlier and earlier every year, and it is,
yeah,
it's fun to watch, man. It's like the fans melting down, the rumors, you know, the fake Jamie Chadwell tweets. Like, it's amazing. There's some really good stuff.
I mean, there's got to be – I want to go look at our standings real quick. Like, see, that's conference. Overall, we got three teams – that are 2-8, 2-8, 4-6. Oh, that's Wake. Do you think Syracuse is going to keep Dana Babers? Like, what is going on up there?
I don't know how you do.
They're 5-5, so I get it. Yeah, quote unquote, you can get bowl eligible, but like, you're not doing anything. You're 1-5 in the league. Pitt, I can't explain that. Wow, this is crazy. Syracuse, Pitt, UVA, Wake, one conference win.
I was going to pull up this list. I can't obviously find it. What the heck is that, guys? Mississippi State. My buddy Justin Strong down at Mississippi State had a good list for who their candidates were going to be. And this is way off track here, but it's a good list, and I want to pull it up because these guys, I feel like it's a list everybody's going to have. Maroon and White Nation, and here it is. Like, I feel like this is everybody's going to have these eight candidates. So the first five they have: Jonathan Smith, Oregon State. He's not leaving there. Kleiman, Kansas State. Leipold, Kansas. Elko, Duke. Jed Fish of Arizona. Those are going to be everybody's five, I think, right now.
Yeah, those are the no-brainer.
And then their group of five candidates, which I really like: Chadwell, Liberty; Lashley at SMU; G.J. Ginny at Texas State; Tom Herman; Clay Helton; Willie Fritz; and then John Sumrall of Troy. I think all of those guys are potential to have new jobs at this coaching search season. It's going to be interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, who's going to get weird and run more option?
That's what I'm saying. We were talking about this in the pod chat the other day. Mississippi State should run triple option. Like, Cover 3 brought it up. It's like, should they call Paul Johnson? I'm like, yeah. Or maybe, you know, Monkey or somebody.
At least.
Or Fritz runs some kind of option movement. Like, you're not going to win the SEC with it, most likely. But you're not going to win the SEC
ever
anyway. So why not? You know, be interesting and win more games. You'll win more games with the option than you will anything else, I think. I think that's, they should absolutely do it.
Do you think they would get, like, still the same kind of caliber of secondhand SEC athletes on offense?
Yeah, I don't think they're getting – I don't think it would change anything either way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be smart for them. I was not aware that the Zach Arnett or whatever his name is had had basically fired, you know, went the polar opposite direction and went from air raid to pound it football. I wasn't aware of that. So, because I was very confused when it was announced that he was getting fired. I was like, man, that's really fast. And yeah, what a dumb decision. It's almost like someone who wants to get fired. Again, I just feel like these guys sometimes – want to get that buyout, and then you're just like, yeah, let's just go back to derping around as a DC. I don't like this.
You will never underestimate the egos of a football coach. And I think that's what you see, and that's a perfect example of it. Like, that's a hard thing to do, hard thing to make that turnaround, especially in like half of an offseason. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, it's just stupid. It's just dumb. Hire an OC who can run the air raid. There's plenty of them out there. And then make that change slowly over time if that's what you really want to do. But now you're not getting that contract, and you'll be a DC somewhere again. That was your shot. Blew it.
Well, they ran a 3-3-5, if I remember correctly, at Mississippi State. So when Dave retires, Tony gets promoted. Does he just go hire Zach Arnett?
There you go. I'd be okay with that. Mississippi State's defense has been pretty good over a few years now.
They've rocked us.
Yeah. I'm surprised Dave Clawson isn't on any of these lists.
I think he's having too bad of a year to be on the list.
Isn't that crazy? One off year.
And even that, though, right? He would just use it to get more money from Wake.
Probably so.
Well, I mean, it's like, is anyone calling for his head at Wake Forest?
No.
No?
Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, they just had a weird year on offense. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Quarterback didn't really click for them. Wide receivers kind of disappeared. I hope he quits or gets fired or something. I would love to just go and do the victory lap of picking up the transfers of Will Shipley, Wesley Grimes, Noah Rogers. I just want to get the whole gang back together.
Dude, I put this out earlier, and I'm just giggling as I was typing it. The message boards would be on fire if Shipley enters the portal and Noah Rogers enters the portal, and dude, James Henderson would be licking his chops. He'd be teasing y'all all day. The boards would just be non-stop. And then throw Wesley Grimes in that from Wake. Oh, my goodness. I would love to see that. Just chaos. Just made me laugh when I was typing it up.
Yeah, the problem is Will Shipley kind of revealed himself during his recruitment with his whole, like, I want to go somewhere that's going to win championships mantra.
Somebody in the pod chat, and I got it saved because it cracked me up, and I was like, I'm totally stealing that. He said, where is it? Hang on, I got to read this. He said, Shipley really wants to break that losing streak in Carter Finley if he's transferring to NC State. And I just started laughing. I was like, that's great.
No,
that's
then we go 0 for 12.
That is great.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, there's karma associated with it. He spurned the place he was supposed to go. You know, if he had come here, I bet we would have gotten a few more recruits. Things would have looked a little different, quicker. Probably have better offensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, he can come here. He can be part of the, like, three-headed monster with Raphael and Paylor and Casey. I guess that's now a four-headed monster.
Michael Allen.
Michael Allen. Yeah, Michael Allen needs to... This is probably actually going to be a big weekend for him if he's healthy. Wait, isn't he injured, though? No. Yes.
The concussion protocol, I think, is what they said. Or
okay,
what they were
that's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah, when he got hit in that game, I was like, that looked weird.
Yeah. All right, weight game. Somebody's like, why didn't y'all do a post game? And it's probably because I was just too happy. Because we absolutely dismantled Wake. And it was great. It was stress-free. The defense was phenomenal. Offense was efficient-ish. And it was never a threat. It was great. I was happy. I was ecstatic with that. You don't get that very often from it. I know there was a discussion about Dave had gone for it at the end, get that last touchdown to run up the score. He's not going to do that against Clawson. That's just not what he does. He's not going to do that against many people anyway, unless you're ECU.
He's up 20.
Yeah, he's up 20. he's not going to risk anybody getting hurt. He was happy that they absolutely dismantled them, and that's where he's going to go. There's no benefit to scoring there. I don't think so. I think that karma comes around full circle at some point. But I mean, I get it. I want to score 50 every game, but that's not realistic with this offense. And be happy with that win. You know, take the knee. Nobody's hurt, and get out of there. Just beating the pants off Wake. So
yeah, it would have been unnecessary. I mean, it was kind of like we talked about. It's the UNC Jacoby Brissett game plan.
Yeah.
You throw it like 15 to 17 times, you run all over them, and then you get out of there with a painless victory, basically. Yeah, I mean, so, I was just looking at his stats. I mean, it's exactly kind of what we thought. Roughly 200 yards, two touchdowns. It's all you need. All you need to do with this defense.
Glad to see they didn't try to change the offense back to the earlier Brennan Armstrong offense. They kept doing the things they were doing, giving the ball to Casey, letting him go. You know, those sorts of things, letting Brennan run, not asking him to make, you know, too many crazy plays.
It's the same.
Yeah,
it was the same pass concepts. There was nothing really new there.
Yeah.
The only thing that was new was the offensive line just having, I don't know if it was McMahon or what, but there were some absolute brain farts on snaps. Where,
oh, my God.
He would, I don't know, if maybe Wake was like, you know, kind of simulating the snap or something, and it wasn't getting called. But, I mean, it was just like two or three completely disjointed snaps and then multiple false starts. So, you know, got to clean that up before going into VT. But, yeah, man, felt pretty vindicated. It's exactly what I thought. All I could think all week was, should have just kept with him. Would have won Marshall. Would have won Duke. I have no doubt in my mind now. It was a stupid, like, rash decision. And the offensive line has looked much more cohesive since McMahon came back, despite what I was just saying about those snaps.
Why didn't they change the offense rather than change the quarterback and then the offense? Why didn't anybody make that connection? Like, hey, let's simplify things for Brennan and let him, you know, run this offense that we're planning on running for MJ.
Well, I don't know. Dorton was saying that he and I were talking early in the season or before the season, and they said it was going to take a while to figure out what they had and how to make it work. And so, I mean, literally, maybe they just needed the impetus of, like, we got a quarterback that we don't trust at all. Let's dumb it down as much as we possibly can. And, oh, by the way, let's just give it to the guy who seems to be fast and can turn on a dime. And, you know, it kind of worked out. I mean, the Marshall game was still kind of a shit show, right, with how the, you know, the two or three interceptions early on in that game. But I don't know. That's why I just kept sitting there thinking, like, you know, I always thought the ideal thing was to do the switch in the bye week. I guess they didn't want to wait that long. Like, I wish they had. If they had just, it's probably really hard initially to be like, well, this quarterback's got all this experience in my system. Now I'm going to water it all the way down. But I think there's a lot of things going on. I think, one, it's new personnel for him and Brennan to be working with, but it's also a completely new scheme for our guys. And I just don't think they were really running it confidently. That, you know, guys were kind of missing routes and things like that. So, I mean, I just think you keep it simple and it'll probably be fine. Also, the defense was really erratic in those early games too, which kind of had them throwing a lot more and exposing him more. So I don't know. I'm just annoyed because it's like, you could have, in that Duke game, they could have yanked MJ. Like, he looked shitty then. So, like, that one's just going to haunt me. But, you know, I think we'll see for the next couple weeks the kind of thing we've been hoping for, which is just like a really smart, efficient offense. Simplify, just hit your easy buttons as much as possible. And then a defense that's probably going to smother at least this next team. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, before we get into Virginia Tech, I totally forgot. I wanted to put a couple of housekeeping notes. I know last week we ran the clips, and our software did not decide to put them in originally, but I edited them back in. If you ever get the dead air like that, re-download the episode, you know, give it a couple hours. Apple is usually notoriously slow, but if you're using, you know, Spotify, that usually picks up pretty quickly. If you need a podcast app, use Pocket Cast. It's a fantastic app. It streams podcasts. It's just, to me, it's way better than the Apple app. And I know a bunch of people had some issues with the Apple stream, but, you know, I can't do anything about that. They take their time updating that stream. But, yeah, We will be available on YouTube now. Eventually, we'll start adding video to them, but our podcast should be uploaded on the YouTube channel shortly after they get posted here. So look for them there as well. Going into the VT game, this is an interesting one to me.
You don't want to give props to the defense for the weight game?
Well, defense has been fantastic. I was actually raving about the defense on a Virginia Tech pod last night, and I got these numbers down in front of me. They have given up in the last four games 20 yards rushing to Louisville, 100 yards rushing to Clemson, with 60 of those coming late in that game, 111 to Miami, and 7 rushing yards to Wake Forest. Freaking defense has been dominant. Like, the defensive line is doing so much work that it's allowing the linebackers to move freely. It's exactly what you want in the 3-3-5, and it's the thing that gives me hope in these last two games, right? The defense has just been outstanding. I don't know how much more to say about that. Everybody played good in that game. Savion had a really good game. Guys up front played really well. Peyton was Peyton game. Aiden White, I thought, played one of his best games in coverage. They tried to throw a lot of him, and
don't know what they were thinking.
I don't know how many PBUs he had, but it felt like a bunch, and he just had him on lock, and Wake couldn't do anything, and it's a phenomenal effort from the defense right there, and that defense is what gives me hope going into these next two.
Yeah, that was the most I feel like I've seen Aiden White all season in one game. It was pretty wild just seeing how often they went at him and how poorly it ended for them most times. Right. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Trent Penix for his blocking ability versus the defensive. I guess it was probably the linebackers and DBs that ran with Scott all the way down and blocked people. I was laughing so hard when Penix like just threw his arms up and just shuffled off instead of blocking someone. I don't know what he was thinking. But yeah, man, that was awesome. It was really cool seeing Savion Jackson have just like such a monster game, just completely dominating. The thing that I left the game with actually thinking was, I feel like this is probably the healthiest overall the defense has been this late in a season in like,
be not gonna work.
Yeah, you can hit every, I mean, sometimes you got it.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me, football gods. But, I mean, I feel like in the last like 5 years, I mean, usually by the time we've gotten to these games, right, it's like a complete mash unit out there. So,
yeah.
It's been really nice to see. I mean, I feel like that's also a factor in these games and why they've been kind of vice gripping a lot of these guys. But anyways, I just want to bring that up before we move on to the next game, because I just want to give them a shout out, because usually Wake is just such a horror show for us to watch defensively.
Yeah, they attacked the mesh. They were really disruptive up front, and it was great. I want all the games to be like that, especially all the Wake games. That's how they should be. We should be kicking their ass like that, right? I don't know why these games have been close in the past, but
They've had really good receivers and terrible officiating. That's what I will say about that.
Credit to the team for staying focused and rallying around Armstrong after that week of just absolute weirdness going on with the MJ stuff and the locker room stuff and all the stuff that went on that week. Like, good job, Dave, keeping those kids focused. Like, that was always one of those in question, but man,
I mean,
I'll give you this, right? There's a lot of question marks about Dave and his teams. His dudes never quit. Like, we've seen teams where teams have quit.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen many NC State teams that have quit under Dave. Maybe that 2019, there was a couple games you felt like that. But even then, I think that was more inexperience than it was them quitting.
Yeah, they still tried. I mean, they didn't try great because they had so many freshmen playing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they definitely tried. That's a really good statement. I mean, I think it was really easy for the team to rally around Brennan, because you're coming off of a game where he made some key plays for you, running the ball, showing his physicality. I really feel like at the end of that game, they chose not to score with him because they thought it might upset MJ. But MJ and his people, like, you know, showed what they cared about, and it wasn't the team. So I think it was probably very easy for the team to be like, oh, cool, fuck off, we're sticking with this guy. So
speaking of MJ, there's rumors that Notre Dame is interested in MJ Morris, and Notre Dame slapped the sign, absolutely dick slapped him in their their comments the other day. Said if the Fighting Irish do pursue him, he's packing some baggage, and not just the kind he'll use to carry his clothes from North Carolina to Indiana. It's a bit worse considering his coach Clear did not agree with his decision. One has to wonder if Marcus Freeman and company would want to go anywhere near someone who could be perceived as a quitter. It seems likely that at the very least, Notre Dame football would need to get some assurances from MJ Morris before really pursuing him. Not wrong. Nebraska. Harsh, but not wrong.
Yeah, I think Nebraska had something really similar, too. And, yeah, when you quit as a starter, people are going to say, were you guys losing a bunch of games? No, I mean, I went 3-1 while I was the starter. And you quit?
You know what this tells me? You know what all of this tells me is that his camp is talking to schools.
Oh,
right. He's not
100%.
Despite his, I want a redshirt, I'm going to be here next year, all the BS that his parents have been saying. Like, all of these other sites are not coming out with this for, you know, for no reason. There has been some conversation somewhere in that line, whether it's an assistant coach and, you know, MJ's dad or something else. There has been conversations. So I fully expect him to hit the portal. That's what this all tells me.
If Notre Dame is poking around at MJ Morris, Notre Dame's got problems. Like, that's
yeah. Especially they have two highly do better. Recruited kid or highly rated kids supposed to be coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, just in general, right? Like, that's just not even the type of player that they really need. So
strange.
That would be really weird. Again,
yeah, very strange.
I think it makes a lot more sense for him to go down a level, or, you know, I think someone was floating Vanderbilt early on. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of. But even there, like, he's not going to like getting hit all the time by those big SEC dudes.
Yeah, go to Athens and see how that works out for you.
That's probably why they reached out to Notre Dame. They're like, you got a pretty good offensive line. Like, this will be safe for us.
Yeah, Nebraska, same thing.
Yeah, right. Just go to Iowa. I'm telling you.
Oh man,
God. Okay, yeah. Virginia Tech.
This Virginia Tech game is interesting. I feel like early in the year, before the Wake game, I felt like Wake was trending the wrong direction and Virginia Tech was trending the right direction. And I think I said that on this podcast. And then Wake goes out and gets – or not Wake. Virginia Tech goes out and just gets trucked by Louisville, I think, 35-3. And I'm like, what in the hell is happening there? And they have essentially beaten everybody who's been lesser competition and then lost to anybody who's put up a fight. I did think Boston College would put up a little fight with them, but Virginia Tech ended up beating the pants off of them, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
That was – I just watched that game before we started. That was the worst six-win team I've seen in the country. I don't know how Boston College has six wins. They could not tackle. They didn't look like they wanted. They looked like they were just running out there with no arms when they tried to tackle. It was so weird. It was really hard to watch, actually, because it was just comically bad. I went back and watched the Louisville game, the Wake game, and that one, just to kind of get a sense of recent opponents and like what they've looked like against them. It was a slog fest with Wake Forest. Wake looked like the same offense we just faced, very inept. I want to say they won that game. Yeah, it was like 30-13, but it was very close for quite some time before Wake fell apart. So kind of took some notes from that. Then the Louisville game. I mean, Louisville's defense was just all over them. It was like pathetic to watch, quite frankly. And then the BC game was, like I said, like a defense just didn't even look like they wanted to tackle someone that day. And their offense was still moving the ball, but they threw an interception on the first play of the game. Then, like, the third series, it was the first play. And then in the first quarter, Virginia Tech kicked an onside kick and recovered it after the idiot like hit the ball in the middle of the like 5 yards from the kick. So it was just a really poorly coached game. But like some of the things I noticed from watching them, I think we're going to have a really big game on the ground. Teams are running on them. Louisville just waltzed all over them. Wake and BC were getting lots of run game, especially with the QB run. Doesn't quite look like the defense of old from like Virginia Tech. And then offensively, like they're really basic. Their quarterback is big and runs, but he's not particularly fast. He's pretty limited with the throws he makes. It seems like on offense they call a lot of like pick plays to try to free ISO guys up. So, but anytime anyone gets pressure on this guy, he makes really bad decisions with it. A lot of, I think in those three games I saw multiple grounding calls and things like that, throwing the ball while getting sacked. Like, honestly, like unless we make a lot of mistakes, I think this is going to be a blowout just from what I saw.
Yeah, this is, you know, Virginia Tech started Grant Wells early in the year, and he was not doing well. They brought in Kyron Drones, and Drones is a running quarterback. Like, he is, that's what he does. And I'm not sure he's the best passer out there. And what State has been doing well, in my opinion, in these last, like, four or five games is making you do the thing you don't want to do, right? I think State's going to try to take away the run and rely on Aiden White and Shy Battle to cover and, you know, make plays. I don't think they're going to allow Virginia Tech to run, and they're going to rely, they're going to make them pass to beat them. And I feel pretty good about that game plan, given how our secondary's been playing and whatnot.
Yeah, Kyron Drones has 130 attempts running the ball this year.
How many pass attempts?
He has 212 pass attempts.
Yeah.
Nothing special. Nine touchdowns, two interceptions. Again, like I assume this is a game where you just, like you said, you just let the corners out on their islands and tell them to just do their best. Just be ready for a couple deep shots off play action, and then just try to murder them in the backfield as much as you can. Like, it's just, it's like watching, like, just, it's just a bunch of RPO. It's all it is. It's like nothing fancy whatsoever. Their receivers are Steven Gosnell, this number 8 tight end that they've got. That's kind of like a tight end wide receiver.
That name sounds familiar. Like,
Steven Gosnell?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, we're not talking about that. Tootin, their running back, has got a little hitch in the giddy up, or whatever you want to say. So he's got some wheels, but honestly, I mean, this is like the kind of offense that plays into this our defense, and I just,
they've got Daquan Felton and a Daquan
Wright,
both spelled the same way, crazy, and a Daquan and a Daywan.
Get those triple D's out of here. I really think the thing that I just noticed a lot was just not very disciplined on defense. It seems like you can run on them very effectively. It seems like there's lots of holes. So it's going to be really interesting to see KC. I noticed a couple times with kind of the push, pop, pass, jet sweeps, whatever. VT let up really big guards. The Louisville running backs were just waltzing through the defense. And with Brandon Armstrong, I just noticed all the mobile quarterbacks were just easily picking up yards. So this just seems like a game where just don't do anything stupid and, you know, let your defense kind of just compress the field over time. And it just seems like a game where Brandon Armstrong is going to pop. And, you know, at least Brennan, Anai, you know, Wiles, all these guys are like really familiar with playing at Lane Stadium, right? So right. The team should not be in for any shock, I guess.
They don't ask Drones to do a whole lot passing the ball. They're not throwing it downfield. There's a lot of short passes. Like, it just everything keep in front of us. And I was talking to my buddy today, and he made a good point. He's like, it's an extremely winnable game. Make sure you have the lead when it gets dark in Blacksburg. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly the way that I was thinking. He articulated it better. Like, you don't want to be you know, losing or close when it gets dark and the lights come on. And because I think they have a significant home field advantage. I think it's one of those places that is tough to play. My counter to that is that we've got a bunch of guys who played a lot of football. And that includes playing in the road at Virginia Tech and other places. So, I think they'll be a little bit more mature and well equipped to handle that as opposed to previous teams have gone to Blacksburg and not fared so well. And I come back to that 21 game, I think it was, where we went up there. It was first game of the year. Virginia Tech had lost a bazillion players to the portal, and we were like, yeah, we're going to steamroll them, and they beat the brakes off of us.
Well, we decided to play the backup quarterback instead of the starting quarterback, so that was kind of a bad move on our part.
Yeah, it's a trend. Anyway, so I feel like we match up pretty well. They want to do the things that we're good at stopping. And so that's what it's going to come down to. Again, for me, it comes down to our offense. Are they going to be efficient? Are they going to, have explosive plays and be able to salt the game away like they did at Wake Forest?
Yeah. Assuming everyone is relatively healthy, Casey came up a little. I think he went in the medical tent at one point and came back in and still carried the ball two or three more times. But as long as everyone's healthy, like, honestly, this shouldn't be a hard game for the offense. Virginia Tech didn't play anything really difficult from when I was watching them, and they were letting up quite a few yards. So just be smart. Don't let a special teams play get you. And, I just feel like this is a game where you're going to win. It will probably look very similar to Wake if we just play smart. It's going to be like a 24-10 type game. If we mess around, right, then throw a couple of picks, might be a little different.
That's about what I said. The over-under is 44. I feel firmly the under is to play.
Oh, yeah.
It's 22 is the over-under for both teams, obviously. And, I think 24-10 is about the right score. 24-17, late touchdown or something. But that is kind of how I feel this game plays out. I was looking at Virginia Tech's schedule, and they beat ODU, lost to Purdue, lost to Rutgers, lost to Marshall, beat Pitt, lost to Florida State, beat Wake, beat Cuse, lost to Louisville, beat Boston College. So, again, beat anybody with a without a pulse, and then lost to anybody who's semi-competent. That's about sums up this team.
And, those were, it was like a mix of on the road, so it wasn't, it wasn't like, oh, these were all a bunch of tough road games. I just think, just stick to what you do right now. You don't have to get fancy. Just pound away. Run it with Brennan Armstrong. This game should be quite simple.
I hope so.
I'm confused at why they're favored. I'm not getting that read whatsoever.
Well, they've only got one loss at home, and that was to Purdue.
Right. So who else have they played at home?
They beat OD at home, beat Pitt at home, beat Wake at home, beat Cuse at home. Yeah. Like, so anybody with a pulse or anybody without a pulse, they played at home. So that's weird that schedule set up like that for them.
Again, I mean, I guess what I would say, right, is we've had three straight weeks of shitty quarterback play for the defense to handle. Yeah. There's no exception here. They are happy to run the ball. This guy's not fast. I don't think it's going to end well. And I don't know. I'm just not buying it. If you can jump out, score fast, kind of quiet that crowd down, just keep it under control. This game ends without much fanfare, in my opinion. I think it's just going to be pretty ho-hum. Two defensive coordinator coaches going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that's about how this plays out. A couple questions we got. Someone at my kid's baseball game compared us to the Texas A&M fan base to ours. Never win anything but show up and support. I disagreed somewhat. Different levels. Can State find some oil guys? What fan base do we really resemble? South Carolina, Browns, Jets, Leafs, Everton. I mean, Panthers? Honestly, no. I said this at the Virginia Tech podcast circuit I've been on. Virginia Tech is very similar in a lot of ways to NC State. They've had a little bit more success historically, but lately they have just been bumbling around and not able to get back to where they were. But their fans still show up. They pack Lane Stadium. It's a good tailgating environment. It's a good fan base. That's kind of one of the fan bases I feel like we, can relate to. I don't think we're crazy like Texas A&M fans. I mean, we are. We have some crazy, certainly. But I don't think we're that level of crazy. We don't have the ridiculous traditions that Texas A&M does. I don't think we're as passionate as Nebraska fans, but they've been through similar struggles, I really think Virginia Tech is one of the better parallels to NC State. That was going to be my answer regardless. South Carolina, I mean, maybe, but I think they – I don't know. I don't feel like South Carolina fans are similar to us for whatever reason. I mean, the programs have not won anything, and I kind of get that, but I don't think the fan base is similar. They're more of a Carolina fan base.
Honestly, we're probably more close to like a VT fan base.
Yeah.
We're like talking about in a local space. I feel like we'd be like Clemson's fan base if we won a bunch, where we'd be like, oh we'd be it's so nice of you guys to show up and get your ass kicked by us.
Yeah.
Oh, so don't worry. We used to be little old Clemson. One day you'll be good.
Clemson used to be my parallel back when they were, they still are historically a,
They've returned to our world.
Yeah. But they have gotten super obnoxious. Anytime Clemson has come to a Carter Finley, man, the fans have just been a next level obnoxious. And I would be the exact same way if State were on that run. I mean, like, if we had dominated the ACC in the way they did, I'd be unbearable in that regard, too. So
yeah.
I get
it. At least Florida State fans never tried that move. They were just like, no, we're pricks.
Yeah. Florida State just like, oh, man, we should be better than that. How do we keep losing these chumps in Raleigh? How do we keep losing these people? They were just more disappointed. But, yeah, Clemson fans have gotten next level arrogant online, everywhere. I can't wait to see them complete their fall back to earth.
It's really happening. It's so tragic to watch.
Yeah.
It really is.
What's your best smoked turkey recipe? I'll tell you mine, and it's overcomplicate it. Inject it with some Creole butter, spatchcock it, smoke it. That's about it. All right, put whatever you want on the outside. You don't have to do much else. I used to love frying it, but it's just kind of a pain in the ass. Smoking it is the way to go now. I'm firmly in that camp. The injection, let it sit overnight, just makes it phenomenal. And then, smoking it. A spatchcocked turkey is how you have to cook it. It cooks evenly. It keeps it from drying out everywhere. I mean, it's fantastic. But yeah, it's not hard.
Well, I'm going to counter this for you. You don't need to spatchcock it.
It works better.
You can do it in a traditional oven. It's not that hard. I've done this 3 years in a row. I have had the juiciest freaking chicken, or chicken too.
Chicken, see, now you're cooking the right bird.
Chicken, I've been busted. A turkey. Yeah, the key is, if you're going to keep it whole, is one, don't get a crazy huge turkey. 13 pounds or under. You don't need these massive, like 18 pound birds. I don't know why people do that. But the key is just to keep continually basting it. I mean,
you don't have to do all that. You spatchcock it.
It is not that hard. I don't understand why people act like it's hard. It's literally, you just open the oven every 10 minutes, pull it out slightly, give it a little spray, and keep moving. It works that fine. So if you don't want a spatchcocker, you don't have a smoker, you can do it in your oven. Put it on 425. You'll be fine. Definitely salt it the day before, brine it, whatever you want to do. But definitely treat your meat the appropriate way. If you're going to smoke it, just salt, pepper, smoke it. It's not that hard. You still don't have to spatchcock it. I know you guys love it, but then you pull it off.
I'm telling you,
pull it off. Put a bunch of butter on it. Wrap it up. It's easy peasy, man. It's not that hard. If you want, spatchcock it. I just disagree. It just seems unnecessary.
It's not. It cooks faster, and it's even, and it's easier. Like,
it still cooks fast as hell on a smoker and in the oven. Like, it's everyone says faster, faster, faster. It's just several hours. It's several hours.
You don't need several hours. If you smoke,
it's fine,
it doesn't
man.
Eat that
low,
long. No, no.
Get that low and slow. Let her crawl up there. Yeah, baby. Oh,
no,
man.
Wrong. Don't listen to Will. No. Wrong answer. I know
listen
he's,
to me.
He's a good cook, but
people
that's
talk
wrong,
about
that's
my turkey
answer.
For years. It's a sign. It's not that hard, guys.
Terrible.
It's not that hard. Just because your parents sucked at cooking it, it's because they didn't have the internet to explain how to cook things. It's not that hard to cook stuff. Get yourself a nice roasting pan if you're going to put it in the oven. That's the only thing I would say.
Spatchcock it, smoke it, and then enjoy the rave reviews without stressing over.
We're going to find out years from now that Big Spatchcock has been spending all this dark turkey money, this dark meat money.
Big Spatchcock can get taken the wrong way. The translator is not going to like this one.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's going to love it. It's going to pop it up on YouTube, and we're going to get some weird ads.
Most of our videos are blocked in Russia, or most of our podcasts, which are now available on YouTube, are blocked in Russia for whatever reason.
That's my fault. I think I said a few things.
They're on to you. They're on to you.
Yeah, well, you know, sorry.
I uploaded them, and then like half of them like kept getting emails. Like, what in the hell? Blocked, blocked, blocked. Blocked in,
do you think?
A country of block. Russia.
Yeah, maybe Russia is who we identify with as a fan base, you know, just as a people. You know, very cynical at all times, but very, very loyal. We'll definitely die on any hill you tell us to go die on. Feels about right.
Technically,
have a drinking
sadly,
problem.
Yeah. I like it.
Smoke any meat you can find.
They probably spatchcock their turkey, so.
Oh, man. In Russia, turkey spatchcock you.
Where'd that little bubble come from?
I don't know. Do we have someone in the chat?
I don't think so. I didn't send it to anybody.
That was crazy.
That was weird. What was that about?
Russia is listening. For people listening on the audio format, there was just a very random thumbs up button that came out of nowhere. Just bubbled up out of Evan's hand, and now he is continuing to throw thumbs up signs, even though I don't even know if he did that before.
I don't know. It doesn't work. Weird. Anyway, anything else about this game? I feel like I'm forgetting something, some topic that happened this week, but our preparation was not the best for this one.
MJ had a silly tweet that got deleted. Oh, Peyton Wilson, the Nagurski Awards finalist.
I've been beating like this drum for a while. First of all, look at his numbers.
Yeah.
He absolutely... is a no-brainer. Excuse me.
His numbers compared to the other finalists is hilarious.
Yeah,
have
I'm going to pull up these numbers. I tweeted it out earlier. If I can find it.
While you're finding that, Virginia Tech's rush defense, 82nd in the country. NC State's 14. That's why I was bringing up the rushing. You're gonna see that ground attack that gets Dave Doran moist, like my turkeys. Which are made in an oven. I'm doing two this year, actually. So I'm doing one on the smoker and one in the oven.
Oh, you're
so.
Going to be a convert. Spatchcock the smoker one for me. Just do that.
Yeah, I'm debating it.
Just do that.
No, my dad loves the spatchcock turkeys and sent me all this stuff the other day. I said, well, now that you said it, I'm definitely not doing it. Got to hold strong.
Here's Peyton Wilson's numbers. 112 tackles, 12 for loss, 4 sacks, 2 INTs, 1 touchdown, 6 pass breakups. 2 fumble recoveries. I don't even know. Jazon Newton, 42 tackles, 6.5 for loss, 5.5 sacks, 2 passes deflected, 1 fumble, 1 recovery.
He must be a defensive tackle or something.
41 tackles, 2 for loss, 0 sacks, 2 INT, 5 pass deflected. Like, what? It's not even a contest. We know how these things work, right? So on a national level, I don't know what to expect. ACC level, he should be defensive player of the year. If he's not, it's criminal. But we've seen that before when they, you know, 2020, when they gave it to the Notre Dame kid, you're like,
oh, God, yeah.
That was egregious. And
wasn't Brian Kelly also ACC coach of the year that year?
Yes.
Fucking idiots.
Idiot writers who voted for Notre Dame, like they're part of the ACC.
Maybe if we give them awards, they'll stick around.
So stupid. It was so dumb. But we know how these things work. Anyway, Peyton should get Defense Player of the Year. He probably will. He should also get Player of the Year. Like, I think straight up Player of the Year, which they'd never give to a defensive player, it's going to be Jordan Travis or Drake May, probably. I mean, Malik Washington, Virginia. But Virginia's terrible. They're not going to give it to him.
It shouldn't be Drake May, because we're going to have a better record at the end of the season than them.
Well, I don't think Drake May has been playing that well. Amari Hampton, I can see. Like, he is everything to that offense. But it's going to end up to be Jordan Travis, which is whatever. It should be Peyton Wilson. He is the most valuable player to any team. Like, I just firmly believe that. Maybe I'm biased, but it's Peyton and everybody else. He should win all of these postseason awards. And I think they should NC State should retire his number. I know people are like, well, you know, it's too soon, and it's, you know, what about all the other good linebackers? Great. None of them have contributed what Peyton Wilson has done. And I wish I had the total tackle numbers and just all his stats. The guy, he's been here. He's played through everything. He gives his all every game. He has been the most fun linebacker that I've ever watched. I mean, Nate Irving, LeVar Fisher probably up there in that camp, but I think Peyton Wilson to me is that guy, and he defines this program, and he has defined this program for the last 6 years. And that's got to mean something. I mean, you honored Russell Wilson's number. Russell's been good. He was real good. Peyton Wilson is everything. Like, put some respect on that guy's number. Like, it's retired. I don't care. I don't care. Number 9's not up there yet. Put Peyton Wilson up there. Put them both up there. Right? Everybody's like making this big deal. Like, well, you know, there's not a lot of numbers. Carolina basketball retires retires everybody's number. Seriously, that's what somebody tweeted at me. There's not a lot of numbers. You can't retire everybody. Carolina puts everybody's number in the rafter in basketball.
Just
like,
put up.
You got a rebound. Your number's going in the rafters.
Yeah, make it a 9 asterisk and an 11 asterisk jersey. There you go.
Yes.
Put a .0 after it. 9.0, 11.0.
Honor him and then maybe retire. Like, do something for the man. Like, he's earned it. He has earned it to me. And yeah, I will continue to beat this drum when he gets boned out of some of these awards postseason. But yeah, I'm a huge Peyton Wilson fan. He's been phenomenally so much fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I think if NC State can kind of finish on a little tear here, and get these final two games, it'll definitely help. You know, I mean, the guys he's being compared against are playing for Iowa, Illinois, Georgia, Notre Dame. So, you know, to stop people from giving that de facto to a Georgia, you know, I mean, Notre Dame's kind of falling off here. Like, I mean, it's just very obvious. Anyone that watches him play, he really stands out. And you know, I mean, when you factor in how he continues to play hurt and things like that, like, you know, doesn't come out of the game, does everything the right way, clear energy guy, and it's just awesome to watch.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty easy. The fact that he's already in this finalist list gives me hope. I just love listening to people be like, well, what about Cedric Gray? He's got a lot of tackles. And it's like, please, you're gonna see in a week the difference between these two.
Oh, the other story I wanted to talk about. College football playoff rankings. NC State is the only 7-3 better team in Power 5 not ranked by the committee. It wins over Clemson, Miami. Losses are to number 10, Louisville by 3 points, and number 19 in a team that was 17th at the time.
It's payback for last year.
NC State's AD Boo Corrigan is the committee of the chair.
Yes.
How does that happen? How does Boo not even like, come on, man, just throw my guys a bone?
I think they'd say we threw them a bone like 8 weeks last year when we were still in the top 25 playing BC. I think we were like 15th or 16th at that time before we lost that game. So my guess is there's a little bit of hesitancy too. I think there just wasn't enough of a shuffle at the back into the top 25 this week. I think once Clemson beats UNC this weekend, that would create the gap needed. Though, I'd be curious to see what happens at that point with Clemson. I think they'd be, 7-4, I think. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just nice motivation. There's probably that factor. I bet Boo was just like, no, please, guys, don't, actually. Dave needs that motivation. Just put him in after he beats this ass this weekend on the road. It would be really nice to have a, top 25 matchup between us and UNC, though, just to really drive the dagger home when we win.
I don't buy the mentality from folks who say... I guess this is just justification. They just how they justify their mind. But we play better when we're not ranked. Like, it's better for us. No, it is not. It is not better for your program. Your program needs the exposure of being, hey, we are ranked in the college football playoffs. You are recruiting every day. Somebody's using that against you. Hey, look, they can't even make the top 25 in the playoffs committee when their athletic director is the committee head. No, it is not better for your program. I get how people want to justify it, but you're wrong. It's better for your program to be ranked.
I think it's just people were box score hunting and made that choice, right? No, it's not working, Evan. If you keep throwing the thumbs up. Maybe if you say good point or something like that, maybe it'll pop up. I think... There was one of the voters who was giving us the top 25 vote, I think, after the Miami game. So it's there. I think we had two votes total, which is insane. And I'm guessing people are kind of just box score watching. They see the 7-3. Oh, you beat Wake. Oh, Brandon Armstrong had 100 yards rushing, 100 yards passing, blah, blah, blah. I think if they go on the road and beat Virginia Tech, I think it becomes a little bit clearer. There's going to be some movement in the top 25. There always is. And always remember that the college football playoff committee is about one thing and one thing only, making good TV matchups. So I could see UNC lose to Clemson and drop to 25. NC State beat Virginia Tech, jump up to 24. And of course, we'll be behind number 23 Clemson at that point. And the ACC will say, there we go. Now we got those matchups going into rivalry week. So
well, let it play out. You would think they would have brought a prop up. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not the SEC. They're not propping anybody up. But Louisville needs us to be ranked so they can prop it up as a quality win. They don't have a lot of
Why do we need that, though? Are you just worried about the tie breaks with UNC? Why is everyone worried about Louisville? I'm just saying
the conference needs it. Louisville needs it, right? Boo should be pushing that.
Here's how I feel about this. The rest of the conference can go fuck itself.
I agree. I agree.
We don't get any more money from... I mean, we'll get a little bit, I guess. But I think the only reason you'd be worried about Louisville's rank is for a tiebreak with UNC if something went wrong, which probably gets taken care of this weekend. I'm sure Miami is going to get beat down. But, I mean, are people thinking if you prop up Louisville and they... somehow win the ACC championship game, what, we think that they should go to the playoff?
I mean, there's an argument to be made for it if a bunch of other teams lose out. Like, I don't think it's realistic, but that's what's happening. And you see that happen every year with, Kentucky slotting in the top 20 right when they want to get Alabama into the playoff. It just happens all the time. And maybe it's just because it's the SEC and it's Alabama and whatnot. Louisville's not going to pull that same draw. But
yeah. I mean, I do think it's crazy that Florida State, for some reason, is being punished for beating Louisiana State early in the year when Michigan hasn't beaten anybody of import. Ohio State hasn't really beaten anyone of import. So this is one of those years where I get really pissed where – for whatever reason, every year, the Big Ten just gets this de facto two teams in. I don't know why. They're not that good, and one's been cheating for years. Like, they should penalize Michigan and be like, you know what? You've been cheating. Fuck you. You're booted. Just put them down at top 25 and be like, you're in the top 25, but we're not going to reward your behavior. Like, I just think it's crazy. And FSU's doing it without, their receivers right now. I don't know if those guys are back, but... It just wouldn't surprise me. So, I mean, the top 25, the back end of it is 20 for UNC, 21 Kansas State, 22 Utah, 23 Oklahoma State, who just dropped 8 spots, Tulane 9-1, and Kansas, who just dropped 9 spots. And Kansas and Kansas State play this weekend. So one of them is getting eliminated. So there's your free square that opens up. And I assume we don't care about the AP Top 25 anymore, right?
I mean, Dave does because he's got bonuses and things that are associated with it. I was trying to look at see who had us in. Did anybody have us in Top 25?
Oh, Tennessee's about to play Georgia, so they're going to get their they're going to get dropped like a rock out of this too. So yeah. I think it'll work itself out. I mean, I think it kind of makes sense. A little bit of turmoil. No one quite knew. I guarantee just no one was really paying attention this weekend.
Probably not. John Wilner of San Jose Mercury News was paying attention. He voted us 24th in the AP poll.
That guy watches the CW, my friend.
The CW. The CW.
I wish we were on the CW every time. We are undefeated on there, people. Let's keep promoting the CW.
Seriously.
I really like the broadcast. It's got to be more eyeballs than we ever got with Raycom, I assume.
Oh, got to be. Yeah, the broadcast has been a lot better, too. We only get one ref vote.
Cam, even the like little logos that they – or the graphics that they do are just
the
better
cam,
than
the
we
ref
see.
The ref cam is great. I need more ref cam in my life. That is phenomenal. Just watching.
I also want like them to put like a field goal cam, like just like a random one, just like right in the middle of the crossbar. Like that. We just need them to have like a dog cam on what's the dog at State that goes out and gets the tee?
Oh, don't you ask me.
Oh, write in if you know.
Yeah.
Send us a write in. Yeah, send us a fax.
Snail mail us the answer to that question. It's the puppy trading golly, what's that dog's
Ed,
name?
Ed, you'll leave us a voicemail on this.
Somebody will. Yeah, yeah. Somebody asked if Dave retires, can we get Drink back? That's my guy.
It's kind of hard. He's doing well at Missouri this year, right?
Drink's an interesting one, man. Like I feel like he takes advantage of his opportunities. So at NC State with Ryan Finley, levers that into App State job, took the App State team that was already pretty good and did what they were supposed to do, and then leveraged that into the Missouri job. And then this, I think they said this is his first winning season at Missouri. But he's been recruiting the hell out of people, which is why they're winning, right? His recruiting, he's putting effort. I don't think he's anything great. I don't think he's bad. I think he's a solid coach. And timeout, hand signals.
Tamu.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, it reeks of... You need some special. You need some whiz bang. You need the alpha nerd. Pay me $50 million. Thank you.
I mean, I think he would. I don't think he
curious
is.
What his salary is. Let's see.
They have other candidates there. I was talking to somebody else about Drink the other day, and like I like him. I think he's fine. I don't know if he's what we need. You know, I think Missouri's got more resources to recruit.
This can't be right. It says he's only getting $4 million a year there.
He makes more than Dave, so I'm not sure what that number is. You know, his numbers are hard to find with all of the incentives
I know.
And whatnot. But
he makes $4 million to $6 million. Okay, it raises incrementally each year, peaking at $7 million in the final season. I'm telling you, man, I don't really know who wants to go to Texas A&M. I know the money. What I'm saying is... who's going to be a good coach that they're bringing there? I feel like there's going to be some weird vibes around there. You've already got, what's his name from Oregon, already shitting on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, maybe Chip Kelly will go there. God, that would be amazing. A guy who could not care less about recruiting, but having an NIL budget like they've got.
Chip hasn't evolved enough either. I think he had an advantage back in the day with his schemes and at Oregon when they were ahead of the game with all the uniforms and whatnot. I think it's passing by. I think, you know, if these coaches don't evolve, they don't change, everybody else catches up to them. You got to keep innovating. I think he's probably a good offensive coach, and I think if that was his only role, he'd be really good at it. But yeah.
What about this? Dave Doran retires. Chip Kelly announced as NC State's head coach.
Yeah, I don't know.
How would the fan base react? Does he walk up immediately and say, "We definitely weren't playing that bowl game against you.
We were scared." That's what he would like. That's what he'd have to say to win people over.
We were scared. Like we didn't want to play. We were going to
get our ass kicked.
Yeah.
And so I said, "That's the kind of team I want to go be a part of." It's easy to recruit here, right? Is recruiting easy here?
Yeah.
I feel like every coach that gets hired here is like, it's going to be easy to recruit here, right? This is North Carolina. You're the football team, right?
It should be.
Oh, little do they know.
Yeah.
If you donate to the Pack of Wolves NIL or Savage Woods NIL, it might be. Yeah. We should have told them to just invest in Bitcoin today.
Oh, Will's in the crypto. Crypto scammer.
No, no, I'm not. Crypto. No, you're not getting me back.
Crypto scammer.
I enjoyed my little time there.
All right, sir. That's all I got here. Take the under in this game. Pack should be okay. Should be fun. Don't be losing when it gets dark in Lane Stadium. Get on them early. Dismantle the crowd. Make them feel bad. Do all things you did at Wake Forest to take suck the life out of that program.
Feel bad.
Make them feel bad. I mean, I like Virginia Tech fans. I just want them to feel bad for the day.
Yeah. Just a reminder, Virginia Tech and this amazing 5-5 run they're on is still 50th in scoring, and we are 23rd. Like, I think this is going to be...
In scoring?
I think Wake Forest is 53rd in scoring, so just for reference points, like, Virginia Tech is very much in the same mold as what we've experienced lately, but with worse defense. So, again, yeah. That's why I'm just confused by the line. It just seems really odd to have a -3.
Three for the home field advantage, so Vegas probably puts it at a push otherwise, right?
I guess so. I'm telling you, man, it's got blowout potential from my view. So
we'll see. Somehow Dave could have backdoor it to 10 wins this year, which would be his best coaching job of all time.
100%.
I mean, really, with this team, if he wins out and then he might actually care about the bowl game to get his 10th win. And my drop after that, man, that'd be wild.
I don't know, man. I just feel like, yeah, you want to go out on top, so I could definitely see it. But I feel like when you get 10 wins after, like, this meh of an offense, you know, it's got to be then gnawing at him going, shit, we should have gone to Charlotte this year. Oh, are we really losing that much on defense? Like, some of these guys are starting to pep up. We've got some NIL money. Do I make one more chance? Will Tony stick around? Ugh. I was thinking about this actually earlier. I was on a walk and I said, okay, let's say he retires and they do the easy button and hire Tony Gibson. I assume you could like pay him like a pretty paltry head coach salary and say, hey, we're going to give you all this other money that we had for Dave. We're going to allocate it to staff and things like that and then have all these incentives for you. If you do well, do you think he'd be like insulted by that? Because I can't imagine if he went and coached at like Marshall or West Virginia that the salary would be too impressive.
I think if you were an astute head coach, that is exactly what you would do. I think you would take less money, allocate it towards your staff and whatever other resources you need, and then, you know, slide the Red White Podcast NIL fund some money so that we can buy your recruits for you. That's what
we are here to influence.
Yes. Yes. We're your influencers. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like Neil Brown, for example, is getting $3 million a year.
Yeah.
So just be like, hey, we're giving you three. You're going to have all these incentives if you do well, which we think we are sure you will. But we're going to support you with everything you possibly need and, you know, allocate this additional $2 or $3 million that would have been eaten up and gobbled up in Dave's salary to go do whatever. Or, I don't know. Is there not a way to just tell your boosters to be like, hey, guys, stop giving us money for stadium improvements and things like that and just slide it over here to the players?
They won't. They won't. That's, I mean, they should, but they won't because...
You don't need any more improvements.
People are silly.
You got a nice sound system, a nice scoreboard. Don't worry about the east side bathrooms. No one cares about what those people think. Right? I mean, the way they leave those bathrooms, they clearly don't.
Yeah.
Like, stop spending money on baseball fields and crap like that. Just give money to players. If we took all that money we've been investing in all this crap and slid it over to NIL, we'd be unstoppable.
We'd have an offensive line. Yeah.
Not even just in that, but in basketball, in baseball. Like, just stop wasting money on facilities, people. Give it to the players instead. It'll feel just as good, trust me. You'll be like, I bought that guy.
One last thing and on drink. Dave's coaching trip. Just thinking about this while you were talking, because I wasn't paying attention.
Typical.
Dave's coaching tree is actually starting to show out a little bit. I mean,
you're starting to bloom.
I'm trying to think of it. I didn't want to say it because it sounds cheesy, but yeah, starting to
blossom,
starting to grow. Drink, you know, he wasn't here long, but still counts. Tony Gibson,
his
whatever
crop yield
to him,
is pretty good.
He's got a bunch of coaches in the NFL. Ryan Nielsen, Ledford.
That's actually kind of crazy. How is Matt Canada still hired? Canada?
It's got a bunch of guys. Like, all these guys have gone up. That's impressive. You don't see it very often. Interesting. I hadn't thought about that before.
The one I'm just still scratching my head on is Mike Yurimovich still at Butler?
Yeah, head coach of Butler, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Coach.
I guess we'll call it. Oh, I know. I honestly thought he was going to be like the one that would come back. The weird one.
We should have brought him back to coach our O-line again. Yeah. Anyway. All right.
You have to make more money.
That's all I got. Enough.
What a great pod.
We're the best.
We really are.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us.
Thanks for telling us when the audio is dropped.
Yeah. I get it. I apologize. Pocket Cast, folks. Pocket Cast. I'll link to Pocket Cast in the show notes because it's my podcast app of choice over the last like decade. It's fantastic.
Boy, they owe us money now after all that.
Yeah. They do. Free app. Owes me money. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. Thanks for engaging with us. Feedback, ratings, all that stuff. I will never say smash that like button. I'll never say it.
But if you want to, that would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, give us some stars.
I'm sure it helps.
I'm for. Yeah. Like, but I will never say it because it is cheesy and I'm too old to say that kind of thing. Like,
kindly
give us a like.
Select.
I can say stuff like that. Yeah.
It just annoys me
when people are like, smash that like button. Like, no, click it. Click the like
the
button. Touch the like button. Do those things. Yes.
The stats must show that idiots are like, yeah!
Just getting excited and punching their phones. Yes.
Sign up for our Patreon and let's see what else. give us a tip.
Yeah.
If you want to see us on YouTube with actual video, we've been talking about it. So,
ooh, good point. Yes. If you want video,
we will be annoying and say, please subscribe at least.
I will say that. I will not say smash that like button. Never.
I'll say it because I have no shame.
Yeah, you might be able to say it. I'm not doing it. Anyway. All right. Thanks for listening. Go Pack.
Go Pack. Beat them.
My outro doesn't want to play again. What in the world?
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to play the intro.
You didn't play my music that I told you we should be playing because Brendan Armstrong and me are vindicated for being right about how good he is with this offense.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Oh, man.
My intro is not working again.
Can we get a curd nerd?
There it goes. You want curd nerds? G'day, curd
nerds. Amen. Making taste tests.
This one, something special. I had this one for you, though. You were right. That was the song. You were right. Definitely getting demonetized on YouTube now. You were right.
All right. Oh, man. I was just thinking, if we have the YouTube channel, though, we're going to have to pay Big Sean or whoever that is up at the front. They're going to come for those royalties.
You know what's funny? How many people think that is a custom song for us? And I'm like, man, that intro music banging. I'm like, yeah, I know, thanks.
Yeah, we put a lot of time on Audacity, putting those beats down.
We cut that ourselves.
No, we did that in Fruit Loops or whatever it was called back
Fruity
in the day.
Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. All right, see y'all. Have a good one.